This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Kana at Cedar Shade Farm.
Good morning, Kana. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great. It is a little overcast here in Minnesota this morning, but that's okay. It's been beautiful for the last week or so, really. Tell me about yourself and Cedar Shade Farm.
All right. Well, my name is Kana, and at Cedar Shade Farm, we raise Nigerian dwarf goats. And we also have a lot of different chicken breeds that we raise, mostly for exhibition. We have our own flock for eggs, and then we have some different breeds that we're working on preserving, some like Duclays, Watermals, Modern Game Bantams. And then we also have some Silkies, which isn't just so much on the preservation side, but we breed our chickens to the standard of perfection and do chicken shows as well. And then with our goats, we raise Nigerian dwarf dairy goats. We milk them. We drink the milk ourselves. We show them. We do milk testing. And they're registered dairy goats with the American Dairy Goat Association.
Found in this? Like, did you go to college for it or something?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I am currently a student at Kansas State University online. Mm-hmm. I'm majoring in animal science. I'm working on my bachelor's of science right now. And my plan after I finish my undergrad is to start vet school at a college that's starting here, Rowan. Their Schreiber School of Veterinary Medicine. They're planning to have their first class in the fall of 2025. So that's what I'm hoping to get into. But I'm mostly self-taught with a lot of the genetic stuff. And then through college, I've learned some of the finer details of how genes work.
Okay, for the record, I love veterinarians. I think that is a noble calling. And our vet that we take our dog to is fantastic. There's actually two ladies who see our dog. And they're so good about being kind, even when our dog is standoffish. And mm-hmm. they are so good at explaining what they're going to do and why they're going to do it and what the medicines prevent, you know, that kind of thing. And I took our kitten when we first moved here to a vet nearby, and he was an older man. He was probably in his, willing to bet, early 60s. And he was a veterinarian, and he did not have any quote-unquote bedside, whatever it's called, the being nice.
Oh, yeah, yep.
There's a word. I can't think of it right now.
Yes, a bedside manner.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. And I didn't ever go back because I was so put off by the fact that he was not nice. So I guess the reason I'm saying this is, you're going to be a veterinarian, I hope that you're like the two that we take our dog to, because they're fantastic.
Well, that's certainly what I strive to be. And mm-hmm. and it's where we are located in Southern New Jersey. And Southern New Jersey really isn't like North Jersey at all. North Jersey is very much like New York, very city. There's some farms, but mm-hmm. South Jersey is kind of this beautiful pocket of a lot of woods, a lot of farms here, not a lot of big farms, but a lot of small hobby farms. And we've had goats for 10 years now. And for our first 8 years, we did not have a vet that was knowledgeable about goats at all. Mm-hmm. So we were really on our own for the first 8 years. And, you know, thankfully we didn't run into issues where we needed a vet, and it was always something we could handle ourselves. But for anyone starting a homestead, I cannot stress enough the value of having a good vet that knows what they're doing and knows the species that you have, because goats, cows, pigs, sheep, there's a lot of similarities, but they're all very different, and they have certain things that really, you know, vets need to pay attention to that are very species specific. And we now have two vets in our area that just came in the last 2 years, and they are just worth their weight in gold. They are wonderful.
Yeah, I tend to not name anybody or any business in my podcast, but I'm going to do it today. Our vet is Minnesota Valley Vet. We live in Le Sueur, Minnesota. And our vet practice is for small animals and large animals, so they also see horses and cows and, you know. So I love them. I'm shouting them out. If you have any animals you need to be seen, call them. They're fantastic. So I've done my thing for today for them. So I have talked a lot about goats on my podcast because homesteading starts with chickens and then you move to bunnies and then you move to goats and then you move to cows and, you know, it's a ladder. So a lot of what I've talked about has been the fluffy bunny thing. The goats are adorable. They're mischievous. The babies are sweet. Da, da, da. I really want to drill down a little bit with you because you are an expert about goats. And I want to know what's involved with getting a kid goat. Do you need to get two? Because I know they're herd animals. So do you need to get more than one kid?
Yes.
Okay. And is it good to get siblings or do they have to be siblings?
So that's a great question. So when I start with my buyers, when someone tells me, oh, you know, I love goats, they're cute, I want to get some, you know, what do you recommend? I usually ask them what their goals are. So like you said, it's always best, no matter what you're doing, is always best to get at least two. Okay. Sometimes I recommend getting three. But I always ask them what their goals are because goats can be used for a lot of different things. There's meat goats, there's fiber goats. I raise dairy goats. Some people keep them just as pets. A lot of, you know, I try to breed higher quality goats and the males, because, you know, you get 50% males, 50% females, the males that aren't of breeding quality, I castrate them and they are sold as wethers, as pets. Mm-hmm. So when someone, you know, comes to me and tells me they want to get goats, I ask, you know, if you want pets, I always recommend wethers. And in that case, you definitely want two or three. If you're interested in doing the milking part of goats, you know, that's where I would say maybe start with a doe and a wether, or maybe start with two does, just depending on how much milk you need and, you know, again, what your goals are. But siblings, there's really no problem with getting siblings versus, we have a lot of goats kidding at the same time. Generally, we try to do it, within like a 3 to 4 month span. So, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily recommend they have to be siblings. I do always recommend getting goats that are about the same age range, just so that they're buddies and an easier transition for them when they go to their new homes.
Sure, that makes sense. Do you, if you're getting, okay, you said you would recommend wethers if you're getting them for pets. Is that because when the males are castrated, they become calmer?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So goats, male goats, which are intact males, which are called bucks, they do not make good pets. They urinate on themselves. They're very interested in breeding. If you have them around does, they in the fall, they go into rut and they will just run themselves into the ground. You really have to keep their body condition up during that time because they're just so focused on breeding. Mm-hmm. They don't make good pets. The males I have that are intact, they're not aggressive. Temperament can be pretty hereditary, so I don't keep an aggressive buck. But they don't make good pets. They smell, again, they urinate on themselves. They're just not good. So if you want pets, castrated males are usually what I recommend.
Okay, and is there a reason you don't recommend females for pets?
So females, they can make great pets too. And I certainly, you know, if I had a doe that I didn't feel was breeding quality, then I would send her to a pet home. The thing with does is that they go into heat every 21 days and they can be pretty vocal about this. And if people are concerned about their neighbors, I usually recommend going with the castrated males, which tend to be quieter because of course they're not going into heat.
Okay. That makes all the sense in the world. I understand. Female animals in heat that are vocal when they're in heat, it's not a fun thing.
Yes.
Okay. So talk to me like I'm 4 years old and I have seen the most adorable baby goat and I am trying to convince my parents to get goats. When the parents cave and say, yes, we can get a couple kids. Number one, I keep hearing about bottle babies. Is it possible to get a kid that isn't going to need to be bottle fed?
Yes. So what I offer to my buyers is I have dam raised in the past where you leave the kids with their moms. Mm-hmm. I've also bottle raised in the past. And this year I decided to do entirely bottle feeding just because I bred 16 does this year. And I'm expecting about 35 to 40 kids. So it's really hard to socialize with all of them when they're with their moms versus with bottle feeding. I'm socializing them when I'm feeding them 2, 3, or 4 times a day.
Yes.
I typically wean my kids about 12 weeks of age. Some people wean at 8 weeks. I just don't like that. I think they do better the longer they're on milk. They grow better. And with kids, like the faster you can get them to grow, we're not raising them for meat, even just dairy goats. When they grow better and they're healthier, they'll perform better as adults.
Sure.
You know, in the milk pail and the show ring and all the things. So I do offer kids that have already been weaned so people don't have to do the work of bottle feeding, because it is a lot of work and it's cute wagging tails, but it's also, it's spilled milk, it's washing out bottles, it's cleaning the nipples every time. Like, there is a lot of work into it, and some people just don't have that time in their schedule to do it. So yeah, I do sell some kids that have already been weaned, usually at about 12 weeks of age.
Yeah, and the bottle babies are babies. They are going to yell until they get fed. They're just, yes, like a human baby. They're going to cry. So there's some real responsibility in there. And I think if your kids are older, like, I don't know, 8 to 15, maybe a bottle baby would be a good thing because they would learn about being responsible and compassionate. But if your kids are little and they want babies, maybe a weaned one would be easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Yeah. And even when you sell them at, like, I've had some people tell me, well, they want to bond with them. And that's great, you know, if they want to do the bottle feeding. But even if you sell a kid at 12 weeks old, they're still young enough to bond with their human. That's not going to be like they're so old they won't ever like another person again. I mean, goats are very social creatures. And when you teach them to like people, they do like people. I mean, when I go out in my field with my girls, they'll all come to me, not just for food, but they just want to be around me. So you can certainly still bond with them even at a later age.
Yeah. And I swear every animal on the earth bonds with the person that feeds it. I think you could get an alligator and it would bond with you because you feed it.
Yes.
So it's a thing. Okay. So when is a goat considered to be mature?
So that's a great question. And there are several stages of maturity. So a male goat can usually start breeding, male Nigerian dwarf, about 8 weeks.
Wow.
He's certainly not mature, but he is capable of breeding them.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is, you know, why I tell people when you have your bucks and your doe kids, you really should keep them separate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many DNA issues there have been in the registered world when people had a buckling that was 8 weeks old and he was, you know, with his mom still nursing and bred, mm-hmm, another doe. It's really quite crazy. But that's not considered mature, but they are capable of breeding then. Females typically are able to start breeding around 5 to 6 months. Usually it's a little later, about 7 to 8. And that's usually when I breed my females, if they're of an appropriate size and weight.
Mm-hmm.
Then typically about a year for my females is when they have what they're called their first freshening, where, you know, you know, they've kitted, you can see their udder and kind of evaluate them. But first freshening udders typically don't look like in the udder a mature doe would be. And a mature doe is considered to be about 4 years old. So typically she'll have had 2 or 3 freshenings by then. She's reached her full height, her full size, and is kind of like at the peak of maturity, where her udder probably isn't going to change very much more for any future breedings. Her udder is going to be as good as it gets, essentially, is when 4 years is considered to be.
Okay. Good. That's what I was wondering about, because I haven't really asked any of these detailed questions because I didn't really know what to ask. And then I was looking at your Facebook page and I was like, I have so many questions for this. Okay. So tell me about the showing of goats, because all I know about it is like 4-H stuff. And I'm assuming that's not what you're doing.
I actually am in 4-H currently. I've been doing 4-H since I was 8.
Okay.
And 4-H is a great introduction to the show world, you know, as you're in adulthood and showing. So there are two major dairy goat associations. There's the American Dairy Goat Association and the American Goat Society. And both of them do shows, but the American Dairy Goat Association, there's a lot more people involved in that one. So there are a lot more ADGA shows around. than there are with the American Goat Society. So the goal of the ADGA shows is to identify the superior animals that are there that day. So there is an ADGA scorecard that you can find online at the website. There are four categories to it: general appearance, dairy strength, body capacity, and mammary system, which would be the udder. Mm-hmm. And the general appearance part of it covers traits like their back, the rump, their neck, most of their skeletal structure. And all of these traits have to do with making a goat that will be productive, have ease of motion, ease of kidding, and will live a long time and be productive for a long time too. And that's kind of the goal with our dairy goats, is we don't want to kid them out once and have their udder fall apart by the time they're done their lactation because their attachments were so weak, and then it wouldn't be ethical to breed them again. So we want to have goats that are able to live maybe 15 years and be productive for maybe 13 of those years. And that's kind of the goal of showing, is finding which animals in our herd are superior and how our animals compare to everybody else's animals at shows. And not everybody does shows, and they aren't necessarily the best tool the ADG offers to finding superior animals, but they are a great way to start, and they're a lot easier for people to understand than some of the milk testing and appraisal programs, which get a little technical.
Okay, and I'm not saying that everything has to be fun, but is this fun for you?
Yes, I do enjoy it. The shows are a lot of fun. It's really fun getting to network with other goat breeders in the area. And I always love talking and learning from breeders, seeing how they do things, what management practices they do on their farm, what works for them, what doesn't. And what's interesting about goats is there are a lot of different methods of raising goats, and what works for me might not work for somebody else, especially when it comes down to feed and minerals, because mineral levels vary a lot by region. So it's always really interesting to sit down with people and talk about what they do, versus what I do here.
Yeah, just like I'm talking to you about something that I don't do, but I'm really interested in, because that's kind of why I started the podcast. I was like, I need to talk to people who are doing homesteading things and animal things and gardening things, because I don't have anyone to talk to about this. And
that's
apparently
so awesome.
It's
I
a
love
good thing.
It.
Yeah,
yes,
I had no
yes,
idea.
Yes, it is wonderful.
We're going to be excited about this. I keep hearing from people who are like, I listened to your podcast. It was really cool. I'm like, oh, great. Awesome. It's doing
that's
what I
awesome.
Want to do. Yeah, and it sounds dumb saying that on my own podcast, but I'm so excited about it. I can't help myself.
Absolutely.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there money involved in the shows? Like, do you, if your goat wins the thing, do you win money, or do you just win the experience?
That's a great question. So yeah, some shows do offer that. So a lot of the fair shows, some county fairs, some state fairs, do offer premiums when your goat wins first or second or third, and some even go down to 10th place. A lot of ADGA shows are mostly volunteer run, and they just don't have the funding to offer premiums for winners, because shows are a lot of work to put on. There's a lot of money involved in getting a show venue and paying the sanctioning fees and the ribbons and all the things that go into making a show happen. And there generally isn't extra funding available for premiums. But a lot of the state and county fair shows do offer premiums. They're not quite the numbers that you would see in something like meat goats or maybe cattle, but they do still help covering show feeds and covering gas and hay and feed and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And since you brought up the fair again, do you mentor kids in 4-H?
Oh, I'd be more than happy to. I haven't had a lot of 4-H kids ask me questions. I did judge a 4-H show last year, specifically in showmanship, and I've done talks at 4-H meetings. But where I am in South Jersey, there are some great 4-H clubs, but it's very small, and not everybody has goats. So it's hard to mentor people that don't have goats. But yeah, I would absolutely be more than happy to mentor any kids that had questions.
Yeah, it's so funny. We watched the Dr. Pohl show, the incredible Dr. Pohl, and they're always showing the fair and the kids that do 4-H and show their animals. And it's so hard because they grow these animals and they take care of them. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. This is how they learn. And then at the end, they have to sell their animal. And every mm-hmm. time they sell their animal, I watch their faces and they're just crushed. They're so excited for the money, but they're so sad to let their baby go.
Yes.
Oh, man. I can't.
So to be perfectly honest with you, when we first started our homestead and, you know, got our first chickens and everything, our gateway animal, you know, my cousin had goats and I love the goats. We were first getting into livestock. We were trying different things. We tried a couple pigs. You know, we had our chickens. We tried a couple sheep. And I wasn't set on which animal I wanted, but when I found out that the animals had to be sold at the end of fair, market sheep and market pigs, I was like, what about dairy goats? Because, you know, you don't sell them, and they weren't sold. And that was kind of the thing that pushed me into dairy goats so that I wouldn't have to sell them at the end of the year. I could keep them as opposed to market animals.
Yeah, you pour your whole heart and soul into this animal, and then at the end, you're like, oh, it's gone. Mm-hmm. That's not fun. That's not good. I'm not happy with that. Mm-hmm. I keep talking about goats on my show because it's a thing that comes up a lot. And I really would love to have a goat, but we don't have the room and I'm not sure I have the patience. So luckily we have friends that have goats. They're due anytime. I will be going to see the baby goats because that's my favorite part. And that'll be my fix for the year. And then hopefully I will do it again and again for the next however many years we know them. Mm-hmm. But when I saw your Facebook page and what you were doing, I was like, wow, that's some serious goat raising. That's not just, oh, goats are cute, I want one. That's a job right there.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I love it. And there are some parts of it that aren't, you know, all rainbows and butterflies. I mean, this year we had one doe with a really difficult kidding. The kid was stuck. The head was turned down. I couldn't get it out. My mom couldn't get it out. You know, ended up taking her to vet again. Thank God for our vet. At midnight, he was able to pull the kid out, you know, and it was dead.
Oh.
You know, pulled the second kid out and it was dead too, you know, and thankfully the third kid was alive and the doe, she's doing so much better now, but like, there are certainly some parts of it that are not fun. And, you know, some parts that it's like, why am I raising goats again? You know, this isn't enjoyable, but also like, you know, we do have a lot of, you know, successes, a lot of really good births, a lot of kids. And it is really fun as we're, you know, breeding for higher quality goats. You know, your goal as a breeder is to be able to say every year, this is my best kid crop yet. These kids, you know, they have straighter top lines than the kids before them. Or maybe you were working on, you know, your rear leg angulation and you bought a buck and used him over your does and he fixed the legs on all your kids or, you know, half of them or something. And that it is very rewarding to see, you know, when you have your does that are in your herd name kidding and they have nicer udders than their moms or all that. So there's definitely a lot of fun to it, a lot of work, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. That's for sure.
Yeah. Is this all you do or do you have a jobby job outside of the farm?
So this is pretty much it. Like I mentioned, I do have a YouTube channel for chicken genetics. So I do that. And I do the chickens and then I'm online college student at Kansas State University right now. But yeah, other than that, I'm not doing any other job yet. I am hoping to intern at my wonderful local vet hospital. But I had to be 18 for that. So not quite yet, but hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be able to start doing that.
How old are you?
Right now I'm 17.
Really? You're a baby. And you're doing all this.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, it's not just me. It's definitely a family thing. My mom and dad, we do it together. My younger sister, we all do it together. My older brother, he isn't super into the animals, but he'll come, you know, haul hay up into the barn loft and all that thing. So it's not just me. I'm usually the one talking about it, but it's certainly not me alone doing this. That's for sure.
Holy cat. Well, holy goat. Jeez, I had no idea that you were so young. That's fantastic. You have your whole life ahead of you to do all the things. Yay. Okay. Well, I'm dumbfounded. That's awesome. Okay, we've got like 5 minutes to go to get to half an hour. Is there anything else you would like to share about what you do? I mean, I would have liked to get into the chickens, but because I've been so fluffy bunny about the goats, I wanted to get more serious about it. So thank you for the in-depth answers. But is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, so I think, like, and I'm just thinking, I'm not sure, if most of your listeners have goats or are just getting into goats, but like, to anyone, the thing that's kind of hard but also wonderful about goats is that you never stop learning about them. Every year there will be some kind of curveball that you've never seen or maybe you never even heard of before, and you will never stop learning. So, there's no one goat person that knows everything about goats, that's for sure. But if you have goats now or you're looking into getting goats, the first thing I always say is, what are your goals? Know what your goals are. Know if you want to milk your goats. Do you want to keep dolings from them? Do you maybe want to get into showing? Do you want registered goats? Are you just looking for, homestead milkers as pets? Because that's what we started with, is just one doe and one wether. We bred her and milked her and, just sold her kids. But we just wanted her for milk. And then we got into these Nigerian dwarfs, and that's where everything kind of snowballed from there. But just knowing what your goals are and what you want your goats for is always a really important first decision to make. And then after that, doing a lot of research on your goats. And I can't stress enough the importance of buying goats from a breeder that has some idea of what they're doing, and again, like why they're breeding. And not everybody breeds goats for shows, and that's understandable. But I think that all breeders should be breeding at least for confirmation, because no matter what you're raising a goat for, sound feet and legs are so important. Ease of kidding, ease of motion, wide rumps, all of those traits are so important. There's unfortunately, especially with Nigerian dwarfs, because a lot of people will keep them as pets, a lot of people that raise them for color, blue eyes, moon spots, all those silly, silly things that you can't put into the milk pail. And when you're, looking for goats, I can't stress enough finding a breeder that, is breeding goats for a reason other than just color. Like, they're breeding them either for shows or for appraisal or for milk production or something along those lines, something that's actually important. And then finding a breeder, again, that knows what they're doing, finding a knowledgeable goat vet, before you get into goats, or after you have your goats, but before any major emergency happens, are all really important things, because there are a lot of diseases and a lot of things that can go wrong with goats. And there are four major diseases with goats that, like, I have my herd tested for every year. CAE, caprine arthritis encephalitis, CL, Caecious lymphoma, brucellosis, and then Yone's disease. And I believe there's a vaccine available for CL now, but there are no vaccines or no cures for the other ones. So again, like, finding a breeder that's testing for these diseases to make sure you don't get them is another really important thing. Finding a proper diet for your goat, because unfortunately, like in my area, the feed at Tractor Supply is not sufficient. The minerals you buy at Tractor Supply are also just not sufficient, especially for goats that are producing milk. So just doing a lot of research and doing, deep dives into understanding minerals and goat nutrition. And I don't want to make it sound like you have to, it's not rocket science, but it is important to have some understanding of those things before you get into your goats, instead of later when your goats is, their hair is falling out, they're standing weak on their pasterns because they're selenium deficient, like they're not able to breed or any of those things that could happen when they're not getting the right nutrition.
Okay, so reputable breeders and healthy animals is what you're looking for.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, Kana, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, because I know nothing about what you know about all this stuff. You're brilliant and you're young and I'm sure you're gorgeous and you're doing a wonderful thing. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. It was an honor, and I wasn't even sure I had to read the message you sent me multiple times to see, you know, that it was even real, you know, someone pinched me. So thank you so much for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.